You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flack from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with the under-16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Iceland. Yeah.
Hi, everyone, and you're welcome to Series 1, Episode 7 of Cawley's Call. Episode 7, imagine that, Stuart Byrne. Episode 7, we're up and running, and time flies when you're having fun. The show is brought to you, as always, by Benetti Menswear, our brilliant sponsor, so thanks very much for them. And as I've already mentioned, Mr. Stewie Byrne is here with me, and as usual, and of course, John O'Sullivan also with us. How are you, John?
Good, Alan, thanks.
Good stuff. Another eventful weekend, Stu.
I'm grand, by the way.
Well, I've been chatting to you for the last 20 minutes. I'm sick of chatting to you, to be honest with you. But how are you?
I'm good, yeah. A bit like the last 6 months. I can't remember the last six episodes.
I can. And yeah, they've been going well, I think. Hopefully people are tuning in. I met a fella on the street the other day. He says, Cawley's Call, I'm loving it. He roared at me, right? So I says, what's your name? I'll give you a shout out. He says, Davy Byrne. So Davy Byrne, there's your shout out. So yeah, it's nice to hear that as well. But hopefully people are enjoying it. I'm certainly enjoying it. And as I say, Stewie, it was a very eventful weekend. Lots of talking points, not just on the pitch, lots of talking points off the pitch as well, which we are going to get to. I was in Oriel Park, you were in Talca Park, John was in Turner's Cross, so we were well spread out over the weekend covering the games. I was hoping to go to Richmond Park, but the request wasn't facilitated. Now, imagine that. So I was a bit disappointed with that, to be honest with you. But anyway, we live in strange times, and I know there's limitations on how many people can get into the ground and stuff. But we were well covered over the games. Obviously, this week is another massive week with Dundalk playing the Champions League, and we're going to get into the whole Dundalk story and look ahead to that game as well on Wednesday. The cup draw was made in the last few days. Also, Stewie, and a lot of ties there that are coming up on the weekend of the 28th of August. The ones that stick out for me, UCD at home to Sligo Rovers, that's one that stuck out for me straight away, because I always look to see who Sligo Rovers are playing in the cup, because we have a good cup tradition, and we could do with some joy after Friday night's result. Shamrock Rovers, Cork City would have been a big tie, but for Cork's dismal start to the season, but they picked up on Friday, and who knows, things are turning. Bowes Cabinteely, I think it'd be a good one, because Cabinteely are riding high in the first division as well, and they got a win at the weekend also, so and Bowes are obviously flying, so we'll come to them on the weekend, obviously, that the games are going ahead, but that draw was made. But to the action, Stu, and I was in Dundalk on Friday night. Another disappointing result for them, 2-2 draw with Waterford. Yourself and John referenced last week when I asked you the question, is the league over? You both said, no, absolutely not. It's over now for Dundalk.
Do you know what? It all depends on, I think, a couple of things, right? So, I mean, first of all, they won't be looking at it that way. And they're right not to look at it that way. You can't do it. Although things aren't right at the moment. They're not playing well enough. You know, they're not playing well enough to win a league title for starters. Okay, but maybe, and just maybe, the result Rovers got against Pats on Sunday might just be something. It might be a little bit of a chance for them. Like, you know, but you'd have to say that given the form that they're in, it would be for that reason and that reason alone that I'd be very worried about them. Mm. And unfortunately, I mean, what are we, 3 weeks into the restart? Mm. This is not the kind of things I wanted to be saying. I wanted to see a Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, and a couple of others as well, you know, really go hammer and tong. It's looking now like we're not going to get that, but I think a lot might depend on how things go for Dundalk in Europe on Wednesday, because they need something to give them. They need something
just to kickstart
their season. Yeah. They're just stuck in a rut that they just can't get out of at the moment. Mentally, they don't look right. The hunger levels just aren't where they need to be. And they know all this. And I don't know. They look to me like a team that have been preparing for Europe in the style of play and the way that they've been playing. And it's just caught them out, you know. And
almost taking their eye off the ball of the league.
To a certain extent. Sometimes, you know, the whole season was thrown up in the air. And, like, you know, In a normal season, you prioritise your league campaign, you know, because you've got literally four months before you get to Europe. Yeah. So, you know, you prioritise your league campaign, and then you, when Europe comes around, you reprioritise and you kind of shift around. But that's not the case now, because they knew coming into the restart they were going to be playing in Europe in 3 or 4 weeks' time. Mm. There's a huge financial benefit for the football club to progress in Europe. And maybe that's been the case. Maybe that's where their eye has been. They've been trying to prepare in their style of play. And you can see how they are. But they are playing very much like I would expect them to play in Europe. They're trying to base their game on a possession game. It's a bit too slow for me, to be quite honest. But you know, we'll see how they get on Wednesday. But if it's the case that they do get through on Wednesday, then they may feel justified by that. But their league form is just not... They're just not there at the moment. They're not at it, and they've been caught really badly. And if they don't get going, they could end up finishing third or fourth.
Yeah. Before we get into the actual game specifics of what went on, because it says I was at the match, but just for you, John, the same question. I know last week we were kind of having a bit of a joke about it, but the league, and I think you were right to say that it wasn't over. It's far too early. But just looking at the result again at the weekend, in terms of Dundalk's title challenge. Is it over?
Yeah, I think it is. I think something that when I was watching, I didn't see all the games because I was on my way to Cork for the Sligo Rovers game on Friday evening. But one thing that stuck out to me while I was watching it was something actually Stewie referenced a couple of weeks ago when Rovers played Derry, about how when Derry had Rovers under pressure, Rovers kept their approach. And they got their reward, and you know they had faith in the system they were playing. Whereas Dundalk seemed to throw the kitchen sink into it a bit against Waterford, I thought, now accepting that they were two goals down, and why it led to a frenetic end where they could have and maybe possibly should have nicked a goal to win it. It just didn't feel like the Dundalk team and approach we're used to seeing over recent years, and it does suggest there's something. Something going on there, whether it's kind of gelling the new players in or having been back in training for so long without games, because you know they were back early with all the COVID testing and stuff going on. I'm not sure, but there does seem to be something off there at the moment, and it's a pity because obviously you want Dundalk and Bowes as well to be challenging Rovers and bringing the league title down to the wire, but I just don't see it at the moment. There seems to be a gulf there.
Yeah, I would, looking at the game, Stu, there was a huge story off the pitch as well, but we're going to cover the football first, right, before we get into that, because it made massive headlines over the weekend, the John Sheridan comments. But the football side of things, I suppose, when we do the games and we do the punditry, I'm always loath to jump to any rash reactions. I like to see a pattern building up before you jump to kind of any silly suggestions after one game or two games. But we've seen Dundalk now, obviously, against Pats the first night, disappointing that night. Then to go to Bohemians, I watched it, they were very disappointing. And here we are, the third week in a row, at home to Waterford, even more disappointing. As you said there about the style of play and the way they're playing at the moment, whether it's to do with Europe or not, it's just too slow, too pedestrian. And when I think of Dundalk over the last 4 or 5 years, I think of energy, up and at them, pressing from the front. You think of the likes of Richie Towell, Robbie Benson, Ronan Finn, all these players they had in midfield that be pushing fellas on. You think of the wingers with Duffy, Daryl Horgan, Mountney on the other side, Hooban, McMillan, whoever the centre forward was. And they always played with that high energy. I'm looking at the game Friday night and they've just lost their zest, their energy, their edge even.
Yeah.
I've in the last 4 or 5 years, I've never seen a team, only maybe Cork when they were obviously their title rivals, or maybe a Shamrock Rovers last year, going to Oriel Park and taking the game to them or whatever. And now the teams are like Waterford going to Oriel Park and having it all their own way. They were two up and cruising without ever having to do anything themselves. All they'd done, it was very basic, their formation. Yeah. They were just set up, they were sitting in, and they waited for a couple of mistakes. Smith played quite well, the boy we referenced a couple of weeks ago. And then the second goal was a mistake and Curtis Byrne finished it really well. But for me, Dundalk have lost all that. They're so pedestrian in their build up. Then John's point is a good one about throwing the kitchen sink, because as you said last week about Shamrock Rovers sticking to their principle and remaining patient and sticking to it, their game plan, whatever the case may be, and that fluid style of football. it was panic stations and it was desperation. Vinny made three substitutions and changed the whole formation at halftime. Now, I know you're chasing the game, but to me, it looked like a bit of desperation, just throwing anything on and hoping something might happen. And nothing happened until the lad got sent off. Then they did throw the kitchen sink for 10 minutes. And funny enough, they could have won it. Clearly missed the sitter at the end. He should have scored. Sean Gannon had a chance. He should have scored. And it would have been a bonkers game had they won it, because they didn't deserve to win it. But going into the game Wednesday night, and we were referencing last week about how this Slovenian team, in the last 4 or 5 years, Dundalk playing against this team, I would have fancied them all day long. I'm not sure if I fancy them now.
Yeah, well, I think what the worry is now, and it's a big worry, is that this has gotten inside the squad now, inside the head of the heads of the players, you know, because if you're going to go into a Champions League game with that kind of mentality and you're in trouble, if you're beaten before you even go out on the pitch, you're in serious trouble. So I think he's got a huge job in his hands to try and mentally pick these players up. I do think
that's another thing, Stu. The body language just wasn't.
Well, see, look, they're. You know, they're feeling sorry for themselves a little bit, you know. And I've actually experienced this myself as a player. And we were like this in 2005, you know, and it just took forever and a day for us to get going. Then we got going, we were fine. But when we got going, it was too late, you know. And then we're obviously in a shortened season now, so time is certainly of the essence for Dundalk. But the only possible reasoning I can give for this is that their preparation has been purely for Europe. They look to me like a team that are playing, you know, in Europe. They're trying to base it on a possession game. When you go and play in Europe, you don't have teams squeezing you high up the pitch the way they do in our league. But what's disappointing, probably from my point of view, is that these lads shouldn't know how to play in this league. You know, in this league, you don't get a second. You never do.
No.
You know, and I don't know why is that a surprise? And even more worry, even when you look back at some of the games, especially the likes of the Pats game, where Pats were squeezing them high up at the pitch. There was no one on the get. None of the Dundalk players took a decision to say, "Hang on a second, let's just turn them for 10 minutes." You know, they just kept doing the same things and kept playing themselves into trouble. So it just tells me that they've been focused on Europe. It's been drilled into them now, like, and because they've had a long preparation.
And Vinny has referenced Europe an awful lot.
It is huge for them, Alan. It really is. Like, I mean, financially as well. I mean, look, to be quite honest with you, I'd say they'll take an advancement in Europe over winning the league title.
Ah, no,
I think they will, Alan. I think they will.
Really?
I think they will. Yeah, I think the financial.
When you say an advancement, how many rounds are you talking?
I think 2 rounds. I think they're looking at it. Do you know what? If we got through this round and another round, I'd sacrifice the league title for that. I think they looked at this season, shortened season, and they may have looked at at Europe as being their priority. Now, that's fine if
you're playing well enough.
You're playing well enough, but the problem is now because of their league form, that's now had a huge confidence hit on the team. And it may be now counterproductive. They're going into Europe now, licking their wounds, feeling sorry for themselves a little bit. They're not playing well. They're not at the, as you say, they're not at it, you know. And you can't go into games like that when you're not at it. So self-doubt starts to creep in. They've got a huge ask on their hands for Wednesday.
John, you're the man that would have been looking after the figures and the finances and all that kind of stuff. Would they take 2 rounds in Europe over a league title?
Yeah, money-wise, yeah.
Really?
Short answer for you.
Well, I want the short answer. And
I think so, yeah.
You got it.
You honestly think they would, yeah?
Yeah, I do.
At some stage, Alan, at some stage, you know, I mean, and...
But I don't think you can pick and choose. This is the thing. If you're saying their focus was solely on Europe, you can't say, okay, and I'm not saying they've just left the league, but I don't think you can basically pick and choose between one or the other. It's both or else none of them. And at the moment, they're getting none of them. Because if they go into the game Wednesday night and play anything like what I watched on Friday night, they won't win.
Yeah, but to be honest, Alan, we picked and choose between certain competitions. Go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say, where they are now, I think that you're in a situation where you pick and choose and you look at who you're playing. You know, if they get through the next round on Wednesday and then they're looking at the fixtures that are coming up and progression in Europe is worth all that money to you, Are you going to protect players for a league that you might feel is already gone? I think they will start picking and choosing, to be honest.
No, I get that. I get that right now, John. But I'm saying, if Stewie was making the point, you were saying they picked and choose before this for Europe because it was a shortened season and that their main focus was thinking Europe but they've taken their eye off the ball in the league.
I think their preparations leading up to this was prioritising playing in Europe. Yeah, and I think that they're playing. There's no other explanation for it. They're playing to me like a team that's playing in Europe. They're playing, you know, they're not playing. You know, this league is
all action.
You have to be at it. You have to scrap for second balls. You have to be. You know, that's the way it is. Like, you know, they're not doing that because they're playing like a team that are, you know, they're expecting European opposition, because European opposition don't do that to you. They never do that to you. You know, so when they do play in Europe, they will get time on the ball, but that's when they need to have that real quality. But I think what's happened is it's counterproductive now. They're going into Wednesday and they're really, confidence is down. You can see players are shaking their heads and, you know, they're at each other's throat a little bit. Maybe not so much the other night, but certainly in the other two previous games.
Yeah.
So that's the balance, you know, and that's the risk you take as well. And so at some stage, and I think it's been on the minds of the club. Like, you know, they have to try and make a progress in Europe again, because they've probably been disappointing for the last couple of years, and they need feel now that in order to try and maintain that investment in the club and to kick it on again, which it does need to kick on again. Like, you know,
how much pressure, John? How much pressure is Vinny on under?
I think for the same reason Stewie pointed out there, I think Europe is the focus. I don't think he's going to be under massive pressure. They've had too much change recently with Rory Higgins and even Alan Mills coming in, and Stephen Kenny isn't that long gone. But there's obviously he won't be feeling comfortable. But I wouldn't say there's a risk at the moment. Europe, like if they get a few rounds in Europe, he'll be fine, obviously. But if they were to go out against Celta on Wednesday and, you know, do so badly, obviously he'd be feeling a little bit more pressure. All right.
The two big worries for me at the moment, I mentioned it last week, and again watching them the other night, like, there's a lot of things sticking out, but these are the two worrying things for me. Was last week I pointed out how they conceded 7 goals, it's now 9 goals. The 2 goals that Waterford got, Stewie, like, you just don't associate them with a Dundalk type defending team or a champions winning team or whatever phrase you want to put on it. So that would be a major worry. Like, the goal that came down, I mentioned Sean Gannon struggling last week. The first goal, he got in between, young Smith got in between Cleary and Gannon down that right hand side. Nobody made a tackle on the edge of the box. It was dreadful stuff. And then the mistake for the second one, the substitute, Adua came on and he tried to head it back. Curtis Byrne, there's a big gap. But even at that, he had a bit to do. But the reaction was just so slow to it. Like you said, Daniel, clearly you thought like he was just... He didn't react.
When you look at both goals, you look at the first goal, which, like, there was at any one stage, it's nice play by Waterford, but at any one stage, there's 3 or 4 Dundalk players around the ball at any one time. And, you know, and they're always a yard off. Always a yard off. Hall wasn't close enough to get turned really too easy for me, for the likes of him, gets turned too easy for the first goal. Second goal, clearly doesn't react when he sees the runner coming through. And again, he's a yard off when he gets the shot away. It's just things like that, like, you know. So what does that tell you? It's almost like they're a little bit shocked that teams are kind of having a go at them, you know. But look, I think there's a
A mental thing.
It is a mental thing, and that's what tells me there's not any one thing that's wrong. It's not like a player isn't playing well or a couple of players aren't playing well. It's all them, you know. So it's just almost like they've taken their eye off the focus off the league purely because of European football. We'll know on Wednesday, like, you know. But
that brings me to my second thing that I was worried about then, because we mentioned it there in the chat about the substitutions. At the moment, I don't know if Vinny knows his best 11.
I agree with that.
Chopping and changing. He even changed the formation at halftime, which I've never seen him do to that extent. Obviously, he's trying to get McMillan on and get two up top because they're chasing the game. But he went with wing-backs. And you bring in the likes of Kolovic, who you like. But I think bringing Kolovic in, they're not sure where to fit him in, because they played McElhenney as one of the three the other night. They ended up taking him off. He wasn't great, Patrick. They played Kolovic, but I think Kolovic is only really dangerous when he's playing in that central area. But they're playing him wide right, trying to cut in on his left.
That allows Gannon to get by, yeah. But that hasn't happened.
That's what I'm saying. That's not happening. Yeah. And also an area where it's not happening with Kolovic as well. Fair enough when they're in possession. But when they're out of possession, he's not giving them anything in terms of, like, the pressing that we know from Dundalk being aggressive from the front. he's not doing any of that.
Yeah, I'd say Vinny would have had a very good idea going into, you know, going into the restart of who was best 11 would have been. Like, you know, I think he might be rethinking that now because of the reaction he's gotten from the players. And I think it's also important to, I'm never one for criticising players, right? But they're all in this together, okay? And it's worth remembering that the football club have really looked after this group of players. They've been very loyal to them. They paid them in the off-season during the break. They don't want for anything. The facilities up there are top-notch. Mm. The training facilities, they get everything that they ever ask for. So there's a little bit of give and take as well. I don't think all the focus should be on Vinny. I mean, look at the mistakes that have been made out there. He's not telling, like, they are players.
Yeah.
And a player has a responsibility to be at the races himself. They're experienced players. They've won league titles. They know what it takes. They've done their stuff in Europe before. So, look, unfortunately, if they hadn't had Europe coming up, I probably would have taken them out on a good piss up or something, to be quite honest, just to break up the monotony.
Yeah.
They can't do that. But you know what? What I'm getting at
would
is,
you sing?
But they do. They look like they need that. They just need to maybe. But you're not going to get it because they've got the biggest game of their lives. You know, the next game is always the biggest game. This is a huge game for them.
Yeah. Okay. Let's leave the football side of it because, as I said, there was a massive story then that broke. We were trying to figure it out here, John, chatting myself and Stewie, and I was at the game. There was no needle. Like, it wasn't as if there was any bad blood or ill feeling towards the players. Nasty tackles. I know the lad got sent off, Ali Coop, but that was 2 yellow cards. And as he's walking off, there seemed to be a bit of words with himself and Finney, but, like, handbag stuff. I didn't pass any heed of it whatsoever. He walks down the tunnel. So then at the end of the game, they obviously claw their way back. You're thinking 2-2, they're probably, they're disgusted with their performance, but they're thinking we got a point or whatever anyway. But they're probably just, you're kind of looking at the managers. I normally tend to do that and just to see the reaction. Finney walks over to John Sheridan. I didn't see anything untoward or whatever was going on or not going on. And then all of a sudden, just there was this kind of outbreak of, like, fellas holding each other back and stuff. But again, it didn't seem anything to me. Like, so I that was grand. Got in the car, went home. And then obviously you're checking online and Twitter. And you're kind of saying to yourself, you hear all these stories, John, about, like, what John Sheridan allegedly had said after the match. So we have heard from Vinny, of course, what he said or what he didn't say. But in terms of referencing that it's a pub league or whatever, what do you think of all this?
I suppose, on one side of it, there's a bit of noise and interest in it. And it's gotten collie minches and people are talking about it. So there's, you have that no news is good news thing, or, you know, there's sometimes bad news kind of gets a bit of interest up. But look, there's, I suppose, one of the concerns that I have is that the only person who seems to have referenced anything is Vinny Perth himself. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I've actually even asked this question on Twitter. There doesn't seem to be anyone else who kind of backs up Vinny's version of events. No, I'm not saying Vinny's lying, but there's like three things there. Either John Sheridan did say it, didn't say it at all, which is, okay, I actually don't believe that. I'll come to that in a second. He either said it when Vinny perked up, or he said it and he meant it. And again, I'm still kind of leaning towards the he said it and meant it and giving Vinny the benefit of the doubt. Because look, Dundalk have been poor since the restart, and we've just touched on that there. And I'm sure Vinny thought it was great to have something for him to talk about other than the game. But mainly because of what we saw after the game with Sheridan's post-match interview with Tony O'Donoghue, who, with the, is that his name? Yeah. I just found it childish. You know, actually, you know, I'd expect more from my kids. It was pathetic, really. Mm. Like, you're pretending you don't know the name of the opposition manager you faced twice in 4 days because a cup earlier in the week. It's nonsense.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. And to be fair, John,
and I suppose.
Go on. No,
go ahead.
No. Finish it off. Go on. Sorry.
Oh no. Look, if you bring someone with the experience and the gravitas of John Sheridan into the league, you kind of expect standards to rise and not drop. And I just thought it was arrogant. I thought it was a bit ignorant. But mostly, it's just like moany teenager nonsense. Like that was kind of, it was just a sad little argument, do you know? And that was kind of my takeaway from it, is like, Christ, grow up, do you know?
Stewie.
I think I'd have had a pop at him on the pitch when I heard it. I don't know whether I would have done it in the post-match interview, to be quite honest with you. Mm. Now,
because people,
if I heard that, I genuinely, if I heard that, now,
I know what you would have done.
I would, yeah, I would. that would boil me over. Now.
I know exactly
because,
what you would have done.
Because and you have to understand where I'd be coming from and where Vinny be coming from. And well, all we're of all us. Come from, yeah. Of course. I shouldn't sort of isolate it. We've all dedicated ourselves to the game here. This was a pub league 20 years ago. Or back in the mid 90s, it was. Mm. I came into this league and it was a pub league, and I saw some stuff going on that like would
that
justify that. I was only a kid, and that's the way it was. That was the accepted culture, and people had to work extremely hard, and it took a long, long time for that to be turned around. And I would say more than anybody, the players were the ones that really turned it around. Because if you ask me, I think the quality. And the standards on the pitch have come on hugely. And you only have to look at some of the achievements of our clubs in Europe, although it should be better than that. But, you know, this stuff really does get under my skin because if it's true, that's an insult to me and everybody else that has worked so hard to try and change the perception of the game here. And we cut the players, and I always speak about the players. The players do their stuff on the pitch, as far as I'm concerned. They're constantly being let down by the crap that goes off the pitch, like, you know. However, it's very difficult to know what was said, right? But if I was, I would have done something there and then about it, you know. And sometimes the old fashioned way is always the best way behind closed doors. Like, but I would have done, I just feel coming out afterwards and saying it doesn't do you any favours because. You have to do it on the pitch first. That's the only way to answer these people.
And people are suggesting now, like as John kind of possibly alluded to that, there might have been a bit of deflecting from Vinny's point of view because things are not good on the pitch or whatever.
Well, I'd imagine it was it really got under his skin. I know this kind of stuff would get under his skin, like as it would do me and as it would do everybody. Yeah, and sometimes people hear this stuff and they don't react and they think to themselves, did he really say that or whatever the case may be. But unfortunately, the time to do something, but you should have done something about there and then, I think. But obviously the match was going on or whatever.
Now my take, I was there, as I say, at the match. So John Sheridan's roaring and shouting. He's a very animated manager, right? And I was interested to see what this fellow was like. Obviously, as John mentioned, he's a big profile, former Irish internationals. People are interested to see what he's going to bring to the table. I'm watching him on the line. He's animated. He's roaring and shouting, non-stop roaring and shouting, hammering his players, right? Fair enough. He's the manager. Let him do it. If that's his management style, let him do whatever. But it was all towards his own players. Now, he's getting after them. He's proper getting after the players. The stuff, as I say, about when or where this was said, I'm not so sure. You seem to think maybe there was something said as the lad was walking off, the sending off. Was it said then? Because it definitely wasn't said as Vinny went over to shake his hand, because at that stage, Vinny kind of blanked him, it looked like. So it didn't erupt then. This had obviously been said prior or beforehand that Vinny took exception to. I think Vinny was right to take exception to it, because as you say, Stewie, we are very professional about the league over here, and there's plenty of people that care. And for him to come in and insult everybody like that, it's pure ignorance on his part. But what I will add to that is there is a perception from people across the water that this is a Mickey Mouse league.
And absolutely.
And he would have viewed this league as Mickey Mouse for many's a year before he ever knew anything about it. Now he finds himself as a manager and he needs to wise up and he needs to realise that he can't be coming out with stuff like that. But believe me, in the UK, and as much as we say we've come on and we've done this and we've done that, we're still a million miles where we should be. In my view, we should have progressed a lot further than where we are. But at the same time, we are on a much better footing than where we were 20, 25 years ago. And for him to come in and say that, I think Vinny was right to take exception to it. And it was a total insult to everybody involved in the league here.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that at all. I genuinely can't. When I did hear it, it really pissed me off. It did. But the problem is, there's no... I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe him. I actually do believe him, but it's the context of how he said it, Sheridan. You know, like, and that's what. It's very hard to come on here and really kind of talk about it because there's very little to go on. So I just think it's a shame he didn't do anything about it there and then. But the only way to really answer this fella, if or to answer these critics, and they are out there and they're amongst us as well. You know, unfortunately, they're amongst us and they're only. They're all but queuing outside the door waiting to have a pop. Like, the only way to answer these guys is on the pitch. You got to do it on the pitch.
Okay, John, we're going to move it on. It'll be interesting to hear when John Sheridan actually maybe comes out and does an interview or clarify. He's because we asked last week about stuff he has to answer to in terms of the doctor and stuff. Now he'll have to answer to this. He has a lot to answer to.
He's probably going to write a book now when all this is over.
But yeah, we'll move.
Well, he said nothing so far.
He hasn't said anything, has he, John? I don't like that was the first I had heard from him when he spoke to Tony after the match, and that exactly wasn't enlightening us with stuff, as you says, petty, childish stuff. And the funny thing about it, right? They haven't a bad team, Waterford. They haven't a bad team. He's done okay since he's come in. They beat Shelburne. The Cork game could have went either way. They obviously drew the game, and Deirdre went up the other night, and they probably should have won the other night. So they're sitting fifth in the table. They have a real chance of maybe pushing for Europe now, the way things are going. And this stuff, like, as much as I felt in one way, like, as John said, there was a lot of noise around the Twitter erupted Friday night. There was talk Saturday on the radio stations. Publicity-wise, it might have been a good thing or whatever. Plenty of people were talking about it. But he needs to be better than that, especially now if he's over here managing in the league. That's the end of it. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay. We'll move it on. 100%. So, Pats and Shamrock Rovers, 0-0. I watched this yesterday, Stewie, and Shamrock Rovers were brilliant in the first half. How they didn't score, I don't know. Pats were hanging on a bit. Then the lad gets sent off, and Shane Griffin spoiled the game a little bit in the sense that as soon as he was sent off, Stevie O'Donnell made a couple of substitutions, and he brings Georgie Kelly off, who I thought actually was playing quite well, even though he was isolated a lot of the time. But takes him off, Stevie, and he literally goes with no centre forward, five across the middle with two wide wingers, Gibson and Billy King, and goes 4-5, two banks, a 4 and a 5, and it became backs v forwards for half an hour, and it was horrible to watch, but Pat's done okay to hang on.
Yeah, well, look, that's always going to be the difficulty, especially for Shamrock Rovers. The likes of Pat's going down to 10 men, if you're going to park the bus, it's always going to be very, very difficult to break them down. I mean, we spoke about the Rovers' sort of approach to the Derry game, you know, when they went 1-0 down, kept their temperament, kept playing, kept prodding, kept trying to move Derry around, and ultimately got their just rewards for that. Like, you know, this is probably a slightly different game in that Richmond's a little bit tighter. Mm. You're playing against a team that are, you know, had the desire to keep that clean sheet, and you know, when you come up against teams like that, you know, there's very little sometimes you can do.
And to be fair to Shamrock Rovers, they did all that. They were probing and prodding, and he made a load of substitutions, and he was trying this and trying that. But this is from a player's point of view, and we've done this a million times in training. Backs be forward, when it becomes a training session of backs v forwards, and we've done it hundred, it's very, very difficult to break them down.
Oh yeah, especially when you're playing against somebody who has the desire to keep that clean sheet, which they obviously did, Pats. You know, like, I mean, people can say sometimes that it's easy to put 10 men, just get behind the ball. It's not. It's very difficult.
That's my point.
It's mentally very taxing, physically very difficult to do as well. Like, you know, so you'd have to kind of point to, they just had the hunger to get that draw, didn't they? You know, Pats. You look at the sending off. It was a stupid second yellow. It looked like he got caught in two minds whether to tackle or not, and he ended up going down on both feet. And there was it was definitely a merited second card and a sending off. But it's one of them where you have to give credit to Pats because they just dug deep. Rovers kept to their principles, kept trying to play, kept trying to prod, just came up against a hungry opposition. But it's whether you look at it as points, well, they probably will look at it as points dropped, but they're still in pole position.
Yeah. John, just from a Pats point of view, obviously I've spoken a lot about them in the last 2 or 3 weeks because they have impressed me in terms of the bigger picture and what Stevie is trying to achieve. I know they've been inconsistent in that as well, and that's, of course, the one thing he will try and change. But one thing that sticks out there for me, they've only conceded 5 goals. And I think if he is going to change a culture and he is going to change a mentality in terms of how they... We all know they like to be pretty and easy on the eye, but defensively they've been weak over the last number of years. And as I mentioned a few times, there's a soft underbelly to them. The likes of that yesterday will build a lot of resilience and confidence for them in terms of keeping that clean sheet. And they've only conceded 5 goals so far out of 8 games, which I think for St. Pat's is a major positive.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, look, they set up their stalled, you know, like you said, two flat banks, a 4 and a 5 in the second half. But while it wasn't exciting to watch and didn't make for a great spectacle, what they actually did was brilliant. And Pats, over the last couple of years, a game like that normally where they would have gone you know, 0-0, lost a man. They might have still tried to play out. They still might have, you know, tried to play the fancy football, or like the football that we enjoy from Pat's teams down through the years, and would have probably gotten caught and lost that 2 or 3 nil. Whereas, you know, the mindset was knuckle down, do your work, you know, back each other up, throw your body in the way when it's needed. And like I said, while it wasn't great to watch the last half an hour, I actually thought it was a great game in the first hour. I thought Rovers were brilliant. But while it wasn't great to watch for the last half hour, they were great at what they did, you know, and they did what they needed to do to get the point. And it is kind of a level of, not commitment is the wrong word, but a level of grit, I guess, that we don't typically see from St. Pat's teams, or that they wouldn't have the reputation for down through the years.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's a good positive result for them. And again, Stephen's trying to change that. It's the inconsistency that kills them, but hopefully they can build on that. They're sitting in fourth now. Things are going okay for them. Bohemian Stew, I watched the game against Finn Harps. Poor game, but they won't care. And can I just say, a brilliant goal. Danny Grant, did you see the goal where the ball comes over kind of a big diagonal? He's obviously on the outside left position, but his first touch was unbelievable and cushions it into his path, goes by the defenders if he wasn't there, and a lovely side for the finish. And Danny Grant has been very good for them in the last 2 or 3 games. He was good against Dundalk as well. He's an under 21 international. He's another very, very exciting young player. And Bohemians at the moment, they're 4 points behind Shamrock Rovers now with that result. Ballybuffet, people know, can be tricky enough to go to. I know they're in a poor run of form. People would have fancied them, but it can be tricky. Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock. But it was a really, really good result for Bohemians again.
Well, the key for them, Alan, is very simple, is belief. So, like, you know, they've gone and beaten Dundalk in Dalymount, and they followed up that result with a difficult away win against Finn Harps. And then you'd have to, you know, do they believe they can go and do this? Because it's getting to that stage. You know, they're 4 points off Rovers at the moment. They are their arch rivals. You know, Bohemians would love nothing more than to put a dent in Shamrock Rovers' title campaign, and vice versa. So it maybe we're suddenly getting the competitive league we thought we would get. Just maybe the two teams are different, but I still think there's room in there for Dundalk. When I look at the table now, I look at Rovers, look at Bowes, look at Dundalk, I still think the three of them can make a real league title of it. Obviously Dundalk have a huge a lot to do in on their side, but from Bohemian's point of view, it really is, you know, do you believe you can go win a league title?
Can they win the league?
Of course they can win a league. Of course they can win a league. It takes a lot to win a league title. It really does. I mean, you have to be mentally prepared from the outset. So I don't know where. See, sometimes when it comes down to the business end of the season, that's where it really counts, you know. But we're in such a strange time. It's an unusual league. It's a shortened league.
But by you saying you need to be tuned in from the outset, do you think their goal at the start wasn't
well,
to win the league?
No, I don't think so.
And now to find themselves in a position where we think we can win it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Okay. Like, you know, I've never had the experience where you go into a league campaign not really thinking you're going to win it, and then you go and win it.
Yeah.
That just is alien to me. Now, in saying that, did Leicester go into the league title to say we're going to go and win this league
title?
Should
we stop showing off, will you?
I don't know. But what they did do, and what Ranieri did really well, he just kept them going, and then it does come to a certain stage at the business end. We say we can go. You either believe or you don't. We can go and do this, you know.
And how much, John? I suppose say the likes of that. Like we talk about the league every week. We know what's going on. We're watching matches. Say people from the outside. Something Stewie brought up Leicester there. So my memory of that was everybody was writing them off. Nobody, myself included, nobody gave Leicester a prayer, and rightly so at the time, and the odds and all that kind of stuff and what they were up against. Would anyone have given Bowes a prayer at the start of the season? Probably not. Now to find themselves, as you say, Stu, 4 points off, playing really good form. How much can Keith Long, John, play on that in terms of everything is kept kind of in the inner sanctum of the dressing room? Nobody's given us a chance out there, and that's a motivational tool in itself.
Yeah, no, I think one thing that's going to have a big influence really is the European games over the coming period, and how the squads and how the travel and how the games and when they fall, how that's going to impact on on the squads that are involved at that end of the table. But all this, no better man than Keith Long to kind of gel that group together. I mean, they're a very tight group as it is. Mm. And you can tell that watching them even a couple of weeks ago down in Cork, winning the game, there's a real sense of togetherness that you can sense off them. And I think that's coming through. But Keith Long, I'm sure he'd be able to gel them together, keep them focused on it. I hope they obviously, from a neutral's point of view, I hope they do push Rovers, make for a better league. But they're definitely in the mix. I mean, they still have to play Rovers and they've been had a bit of a hoodoo over them down the years. So anything could happen.
Yeah, when I tuned into the game on Sunday, Shamrock Rovers are really good to watch now. They're very good to watch. They're brilliant players. And the way to move the ball as well, and like we're going back to even the stuff with Dundalk, how slow Dundalk are moving the ball compared to Shamrock Rovers even is like night and day. But you look at Bohemians, and I was delighted with the result, and I don't mean this in a bad way towards Shamrock Rovers, but I was delighted that they drew and draw points just to give us a race or give us a title. I think what Keith Long has done has been nothing short of unbelievable in the last 2, 3, 4 years. And to have them up there sandwiched in between two full-time outfits, the resources that they have, the money, the investment that's gone in to both those clubs, and for Keith Long and Trevor Crawley and all his players and all his team, and for them to be doing what they're doing. And I think they are in with a chance. I think they're in with a chance of winning the league. I'm saying it right here now, Joe. And how good would it be for Shamrock Rovers and Bows going toe-to-toe? Because I mentioned the 3 or 4 games I went to last year, the derbies. If we could market our league on those games alone, it'd be unreal, because the rivalry they have is unbelievable when those derby games are on. So imagine them going toe-to-toe down to like a decider near. Wouldn't it be amazing?
It would be amazing. No, it certainly would. And look, it's just down to them what they believe they can achieve. I think, Keith up until now has and you rightly said has done a fantastic job with the football club and with the players, and the turnover of players as well that he has, and yet he still you must mention Trevor as well. Obviously himself and Trevor worked really well together, but he's able to get a serious tune out of them, which is incredible. This is a different ask for them now, I have to say, and he's probably trying to. How he plays this out is really important, because he obviously feels he doesn't want to put his players under too much pressure, because if he does now, that might just weigh on their shoulders. But there will come a time, and if they're still in the hunt, there will come a time where you do have to, you don't win a league on sort of
taking a long time.
On luck. You have to want it.
Go and win it.
You have to be hungry. You have to go and win it. Exactly. You have to grab it when the opportunity is there. So I'm sure that's his hope. I still think there's 3 horses in this race, and I think that's a good thing as well. Dundalk are obviously looking at Bowes going, they could do us a favour here, and probably vice versa. So the more teams that are in the hunt, the more competitive a league you do get, But I still think the 3 of them are in it, obviously Rovers, to be quite, I haven't spoken too much about Rovers. They have been excellent. They have been outstanding.
Yeah.
And it's worth mentioning. It's in their hands. It really is. Yeah. And if they just keep playing the way they are, that they will win.
And they're very good. And that actually struck me over the weekend as well. And we were joking at the start saying it's episode 7. We've spoken very little about Shamrock Rovers, and they're the league leaders, and they're winning every week.
Yeah, and to be maybe
is that a reflection of me?
Maybe
or a reflection of you,
maybe it's the fact it's to their credit we haven't spoken about them, because they've given nothing for us to talk about because they've been so consistently good.
Yeah. And they've just carried on, John, they've just carried on doing their business. The way the games have been scheduled with Dundalk have played a lot of the Friday nights. They played either the Saturday or the Sunday. They've just gone about their business, won the game and moved on. They've been very, very good, Shamrock Rovers, haven't they?
Oh yeah, they've been excellent. I mean, even like I know they came away from Pats with a 0-0 draw at the weekend, but I mean they were totally dominant in that game, start to finish. Played lovely football, really high tempo. Pats, even when they had 11, weren't really sure what to do with them. They're playing excellent football consistently, and I suppose in a way that doesn't attract as much interest. When you're chatting about the league in general, because you expect that level or that standard from them at the moment, and they just keep on producing it. There are no blips, really. They look like Stewie said, it's in their hands. They're the front runners and very strong ones. It'll take a lot to catch them.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. When you're not talking about somebody, they're doing something right.
Absolutely,
simple as that.
There'll come a time when we'll talk about them, don't worry. No, they are. They're very, very good. I have to say, even watching them yesterday, they're excellent to watch. Stewie, you were in Talca Park on Saturday, your beloved Shelburne, and I was giving him a bit of stick last week in terms of I was just disappointed with the couple of performances that I had watched him. It was a hell of a lot better on Saturday.
Oh yeah, definitely got a reaction. I think they knew that themselves. Probably felt they let themselves a little bit down in the Sligo game. Just didn't turn up really, or didn't do themselves any justice. So I was really looking forward to this game. You know, pitch was in great nick, gorgeous condition. It was a beautiful day. And it was a top-notch game. It was really, really good. Right from the outset, I was really impressed with Shells, with their hunger, their work rate. For what they lack in quality, they certainly made up for it on Saturday evening with desire and hunger.
But they need to do that every week, don't they? Because they don't have the quality to be competing.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I did speak about it after the game. I did a bit after the game, and I felt that's their baseline. That's where they need to be at week in, week out. I think it's probably, you know, the experience of coming back from the First Division into the Premier Division, you know, there's a huge quality gap. You would normally need 6, 7, 8 league games of a run to kind of really hit match fitness. And they didn't get that at the start of the season because of the break. And they're probably only realising now that 3 or 4 weeks into the restart, they're starting to hit the level they need to be at. Mm. And I think that's the key. They need to be at that level, you know, if they want to. First of all, they want to survive in this division, and then second of all, if they want to then kick on from there. But certainly, you know, I couldn't fault them for how they approach the game. There's certainly a lot they can work on. You know, they've got good players. I mean, you look at the likes of Kilduff and Shepherd are there. You know, they're experienced players. They've been around the league. I'd like to see them lead a little bit more. Felt that those two could do a bit more for the teams, because they are the elder statesmen. They're the experienced players, and they have that little bit of quality. But to a man, couldn't fault them. Really, could well deserved the equaliser. Probably could have nicked it. Then, you know, I'm sort of conscious that I'm not talking about Derry. Sort of, we've spoken about Derry a couple of weeks ago about how do they go about games. You know, where are they at? You know, are they the kind of team that can go and press? Are they the kind of teams that can kind of take the game?
They scored early, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Oh, nothing. It genuinely came out of nothing. There was a bit of quality from the big man Ibrahim. Did a kind of a Rabona with his 2 feet, and then left a straggling leg there. Got taken down for a penalty. The goal genuinely did. The penalty came out of nowhere. It didn't look like it was coming, but they availed of it. But from Derry's point of view, they've got quality. Mm. I would say that about them, and I can kind of see where Declan Devine's conundrum is here, because, you know, we at the moment Derry seem to be at their best inviting teams onto them and then catching them on the break, but that didn't necessarily happen against Shells. So you could see they got kind of a cut in two minds there, and at times in the game they were very flat, they didn't ask too many questions, and then there were other times where they did have a little bit of quality. Brought a lad, Hamill's, off the bench.
Hamill, yeah,
he's got serious quality. Yeah. I mean,
Hamill, yeah,
he's like a guy, he's definitely one of these guys you could bring off a bench and he'd get you a goal. He hit the bar twice in the space of 3 or 4 minutes.
Well, he was a hell of a signing. They brought him, and he had a great career in England.
Well, Declan speaks very highly of him, and he's, you know, you can see it's how you utilise him. But they've got other quality there. I think Bruin as well in midfield an awful lot of quality. But again, you know, when you speak about managers and do they know the best 11 or do they know how best to play, I still think Derry are kind of trying to decide that. But from a neutral's point of view, which I'm not. It was a great game. I thought Shells were excellent. I came away from Talca Park really kind of feeling, do you know what, we're in a good place at the moment. I think if they can just have a good finish to this league season, there's a few bob there. You know, it's certainly a place where you know, a lot of players would like to go and play. Talca looks great, like, you know. So please God they can kick on from here, which they need to do. Big game against Rovers, you know. I mean, that's a huge bridge for them. But if they can apply themselves the way they did against Derry, then you never know. But, you know, you'd have to think that
Rovers a special mention as well for Ryan Brennan. He always chips in with goals. He's been a good old servant over the league and over the years with Drogheda. And obviously we all know Killian probably got a lot of the plaudits, but I think Ryan's been a good player over the years, and he's popped up with 2 or 3 now for Shells this year.
Yeah, took his goal really well. Great quality on the cross, I have to say as well. Like, you know, but took his goal really well.
And that keeps them just in 6th position. Stu, we spoke about them just staying in the league. They're in a comfy position there, as you say, once they're at it every week, because we want Shelburne in the division. John, your beloved Cork City, you were in Turner's Cross. I was hopeful of a Sligo Rovers win, but to be honest with you, I wasn't all that hopeful, because despite them getting the two results, I felt a lot of that was still papering over the cracks of the stuff that went on at the start of the season, and I wasn't getting too carried away. How was the game?
Really good. I suppose I touched on it a couple of times on the pod so far, that City have a couple of great young players coming through, and that Neil Finn's challenge was to kind of bed them in what was a short season and see could he get them producing. And look, he got a good bit of game time out of them on the Tuesday night last against Longford in the cup, and Roder look a bit in that, and Ricardo Dinanga, you know, turned up with a very, very late goal. But I think that helped going into Friday. Like Yunus Cargbo and Ricardo Dinanga again. I keep saying Dininga instead of Dinanga. Okay, again, when he came on, was excellent. But they the best City have played so far. I didn't think Sligo Rovers were great, but City didn't really let them play. That they were pressed hard, worked really hard for each other. Yunus Cargbo again at right back was unreal. It just that the kid is fearless, and that was kind of the comment from everybody on the day. He was my man of the match by a mile, but just a really solid together performance. They moved the ball better than they have so far. Deshaun Dalling, when he gets his head up and runs at defenders, he has got pace, he's got a good bit of skill, lightning speed, and he scored a great goal and set up the third as well. But City, like Mark McNulty had a couple of saves to make. City never really looked troubled by Sligo, which is, you know, probably the biggest sign of, you know, the where they've come so far. Now, listen, a long way to go, still in trouble, but it's three games since the Waterford game now where they haven't conceded a goal. They've only conceded a both since they've come back. So again, the fear was where the goals were going to come from for City fans, really. Our two new English strikers that came off that started on Friday, having come out of quarantine, and fair play to the club for doing that properly, because they could have probably, you know, sprung them a little bit earlier, but they followed the protocols well. They put in an unreal shift up front, and I think that helped a huge amount. It was very positive. Obviously, still in a scrap, and you know, by no means out of it, but some very positive signs heading into the game the weekend against Derry.
Two things on that, John, is obviously last week we were sitting here and they were getting ready to play Longford in the cup and Sligo Rovers on the Friday, and we were making the point that imagine they were to lose those two games. And as the saying goes, a week is a long time in football. The difference now in them picking up the late winner with Longford in the cup, very late winner, and then obviously going and have a really comprehensive win against Sligo Rovers. So confidence will be good. And I'm glad you touched on the point, John, because the one thing I always look out for, and it was the same with what I mentioned with Pat earlier on, whatever about Cork City scoring goals, if they're leaking goals, they've no chance. They've kept three clean sheets now, as you say. So that's always the place to start if you're building a team or you're building anything. Always start from the back. The fact that they've kept three clean sheets now, Waterford, Longford in the cup and Sligo, can only give them a boost and confidence going forward. And as you say, with some of those exciting young players, maybe Fenny might unearth one or two that we don't really know about, maybe, and they might get them the goals. But that has to be a positive sign, the clean sheets.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, in fairness, even since we come back, even against Bowes, like Bowes scored a scrappy enough goal starting off first game back in Turner's Cross. But apart from that, apart from long-range efforts, they didn't really trouble McNulty too much. Now, they had a load of possession, much the better team. But I think when I look now, we'll say, for example, what he's done to other clubs in the week since, he's been unreal, whereas City kept him pretty quiet a few weeks ago. So look, there's hope there, but again, we're way off, you know, talking about being safe or being comfortable. Still a massive amount of work to do. But look, definitely positive signs from Friday. And it was nice to leave Turner's Cross with a smile for a change.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you making up your own phrases now? A week is a long time in football.
Yeah, did you never hear that
No.
one? It's one of the most famous politics. Phrases ever.
A week is a long time in politics.
No.
John, come in here quickly.
John, football.
John,
yeah, no, it's
politics.
It's politics, I'm afraid. I'll be your own.
Is
your
it? Own No, well, I don't.
Sounded good, but
it's a long time in football as well.
But it's a very long time in politics.
Ask Neil Finn. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
it is now. Anyway,
well, there you go. It's my one. No, now. It's my one now. I'll use it when I go into the politics world as well. But Just looking at that is good for Fenny. I'm glad because he's got off to a horrendous start, but he's stuck at it, and I think he's held his counsel, and hopefully things might be turning for him, John, and for everyone. Sligo Rovers, on the other hand, as I say, I wasn't getting too carried away the day to beat Shelburne because I thought Shelburne were very, very poor. I think from what we've seen of Derry since Sligo beat them, Derry definitely had an off night that night, so there's a lot of work still for Sligo Rovers. The lad Junior now, I think, is out of quarantine. He was training as well, so they need him back, and hopefully he can hit the ground running. But I'd still be very worried for Sligo Rovers. They have a massive game against Waterford tomorrow night in their game in hand, so they need a positive result in that. And sure, we'll wait and see what happens. But the first division results, lots of goals again. Drogheda United are the team to follow for goals. But Athlone have picked up this year. They're going quite well, Athlone. Although they're bottom of the table when we look at that. But they've been better. Them, for some reason, over the last few weeks, I've looked at it and thought Athlone and Wexford have been better for some reason.
A week is a long time at Athlone as well.
But to draw with Drogheda is a very good result for them. Because Drogheda, I think, are going to win the league, or they should be winning that league, to be honest with you. So that was 3-3. Bray Wanderers 2-0 against UCD. Cabin Teely 1-0 against Cove. Galway United went down to a late goal. Galway are struggling. Longford beat them 1-0. And Shamrock Rovers 2 had a good win at the weekend, 2-0 against Wexford. The fixtures, there's a midweek round of fixtures, which is good for the first division. Drogheda are playing tonight against Galway. UCD at Lone. Longford, Cabin Teely. Tomorrow night, then you have Bray against Shamrock Rovers 2. And Cove Ramblers against Wexford FC tomorrow evening. The women's results as well. There was lots of goals as well. I think Stephanie Roach scored again at the weekend. So
she did, yeah. And Pearl Slattery as well for Shells, yeah.
Peamount beat Cork 3-0. Athlone went down 1-0 to Wexford. Shells won 2-1, Stewie, against DLR Waves. And Bowes got beat 4-1 by Galway. The games this week in the Premier Division, there's two massive Dublin derbies. Shamrock Rovers are playing Shelburne on, I think that's the game, that's Friday night, 7:45. Before that, Derry are playing Cork. That's a tough one, John. Cork away to Derry.
Yeah, very tough. I'd take a draw. But I think Derry have shown that there's something special there, potentially, if they can divine get it all clicking. So that'll be a real test to see if City's, you know, if it'll be another long week, you know, if City's week past is going to be a kind of a signal of anything. Derry's a great test.
Yeah, Saturday then you have Bowes and Pats. That's a big one as well. Obviously, if Bowes are going to keep the pressure on Shamrock Rovers, they need to be winning every game now. So Sligo Rovers at home to Dundalk. Ooh, I'd worry for them a little bit. And Waterford at home to Finn Harps then is the Sunday evening game. Wednesday night, Stewie. Dundalk in Europe. How do you see it going?
Oh, I hope they get through. Look, it's
in terms of from the league's point of view, like we need to see them get through.
Yeah, it needs to happen. You know, there's all sorts of implications if they don't. You know, not you know the coefficient and all that, just the financial benefit of it all, and just the kind of the feel good factor. But look, they have to be looking at this as an advantage. The fact that their league season has been scuppered a little bit, you know. It's stopped and it started, and so on and so forth. The fact that it's a one-off game, it's in a neutral venue. There's no crowd. You have to kind of motivate your own players and tell them that that's to Arrowbent, to Dundalk's benefit, and not to the other crowd. But you know, I certainly hope they've gotten together. They've regrouped since. Since the game against Waterford, they've had a chat. They need to kind of iron out a few things that are wrong. It's a very shortened period to get prepared for the game. But, you know, Dundalk are the best that we have to offer at this moment. They're the league champions. They're the ones that have been doing it year in, year out. I'd hate for them to let themselves down now at this point. I think that I hope they go into the game in full confidence. I hope they get the team right, they get the tactics right, and I hope they go through. And I think they can.
Yeah.
I think they can.
What gives me hope, John, is I was even looking up that NK Sielce crowd today, and by no means are these like formidable European opposition by any stretch. They've only won the league once since the formation of that league, I think in 1991. They've been in it every year, but they've only won the league once, which was last year. They've won the cup once. Now, they've been runners-up many times in both competitions, but I was going through their league finishing positions over the last 20 years, and they've been mid-table. Like, if you were to work out on average, I'd say to finish fifth or sixth every year, if the average would be fifth or sixth. So by no means are these should they fear them in any way. The only worry I have is what I saw Friday night in Dundalk would worry me. It would seriously worry me. Hopefully it's a case, John, as Stewie says, they've regrouped. And would it even be a case of Vinny just throwing the shackles off them, a one-off game, just go out and do your stuff, lads?
Well, that might be the case, yeah. I mean, I think this one-off game thing is going to play on your mind. You have to have a go. You can't, you know, you can't. Normally you go into these games with, you know, the second leg to think of. So if you had injuries or whatever, you'd change your shape. You can't do that. You know, you have to go for it. So they have to play on their experience. You know, and how you approach these games. Ball retention is huge, as we all know. And they just have, the key is they take opportunities when they come their way, which they haven't really been doing, you know, to the standard that we know they can do. But look, they need to step up. I think they know that.
You mentioned earlier about sometimes like that the players need to take response. They need to step up now.
The players need to take responsibility. They've been poor and they need to give something back. Yeah, absolutely.
John, would you be the same? Hopeful, optimistic, worried?
I'd be hopeful. It's a tough enough game on paper, especially with the way Dundalk have been in the last couple of weeks. But like Stu said, they're the best we have. And look, the experience they have in Europe. I mean, like you touched on, Alan, Celtic don't have that. This is the first time they're going into the Champions League. And as well, if you look at it from their point of view, the first time qualifying for the Champions League, they're going to do it not in their home ground, in a neutral venue. All that excitement and buzz that should have been surrounding the club is kind of sucked out of it. It's going to feel like a strange game for them. I'm hopeful, and look, for the league and for everything else, I really hope they do it.
That's in Hungary, Al. You know what they say, a week is a long time in Hungary.
Okay, John, thanks a million. Stewie, as always, thanks a million. I've enjoyed that. That's been episode 7. A massive thanks to our sponsors, as says Benetti Menswear. Without them, we wouldn't be here. Also, a huge thanks to our producer, Paul Morris. Does some great work for us as well every week. So thanks a million, Paul. We've recorded this in the podcast studios. I'm off to the Dáil because a week is a long time in politics.
Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.